Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. As always, I am one of your hosts, Will, and this is Benjamin.
Let's get it.
Let's go, sir. I want to get into the NFL right off the bat. It's the best thing ever that happened last week for me. I've been saying this since the beginning of the season, and a lot of this is just my need to root for the person that's always being beat down, that underdog. Shedeur Sanders, sir. The Browns had a game against the Raiders. A game. And let's be clear, that was no small feat. Judkins with two touchdowns. Shedeur Sanders had him a passing touchdown, a 66-yard passing touchdown, by the way, sir. Then we finish off the game with 200 yards passing total. Only threw one INT. Your best quarterback isn't doing that on their first startup. Let's see. Where are we going? Where can we go from here? When we're talking about the Browns and Shedeur Sanders finally getting his shot, a lot of folks, including yourself, sir, said that he didn't need that shot. He didn't need that. He didn't deserve that. He needed to calm himself down. No. You may not have used the exact words, but you used those words.
That's not what I said. If you recall, sir, what I specifically said is exactly what happened. The Browns were smart. They waited the time. Shedeur set the bench. He had to get humbled. Now it's his time to rise, his time to shine. And I guarantee they would have waited until next year if this Dylan Gabriel wouldn't have got hurt. Shedeur,
can you tell me why he needed to be humbled?
Because he came in with a chip on his shoulder. He was riding his dad's jersey tails, as it were. Listen.
No, he wasn't. Hold on, wait. No. We're not doing that. Because he was not. He did not ride his dad's coattails. His college season spoke for itself. It had nothing to do with Deion Sanders.
His college season was at the... Sir.
You're telling me that Colorado wasn't impressive? And a lot of that had to do with Shedeur Sanders?
It wasn't just Shedeur.
A lot of it had to do with Shedeur, though.
Sir.
That's just like saying it's not just Mahomes.
A quarterback who won a national championship, sir. We're not talking about a quarterback who was able to reach that elite level. I'm not knocking what he did in Colorado, but he wasn't going to do any more than he did. And let's be clear. He came into the draft with a ton of drama, a ton of attitude. And honestly, the only reason that he got drafted was because somebody like Cleveland figured, you know what? We'll go ahead and take the risk on him. Let's be honest. Shedeur isn't going anywhere in the draft.
There was no risk. I'm so sorry. How is there a risk when we're talking about a college football star, one of the top quarterbacks college-wise last year? Period. I'm not hearing that. You're not about to tell me that they had to humble him, like he didn't deserve to come in there feeling like he was one of the best, because he was one of the best. He was better than Cam Ward last year.
He didn't even win.
And Cam Ward was top one. I'm not hearing that. We're not doing that, because Shedeur Sanders came in there and did exactly what he was supposed to do. We're not doing that. He did exactly what he was supposed to do.
He was all that great. His
and
numbers were
for that
bad.
Trash
the
team that we call
that
the Browns
was because Myles Garrett went nuts. Let's
no, sir. That is not the case.
Terrible.
That is not the case.
Yes.
It was
yes.
not the case.
Cleveland defense.
They won that.
Clear.
So you're
let's
telling me Myles Garrett goes crazy with Dylan Gabriel up there and they win this game?
Let's talk
I
about
think
this. Myles Garrett, sir, two forced fumbles. Insanity. The defense. Okay, they didn't get any interceptions, but they got after the Raiders. They got after Geno Smith. He got sacked 10 times. You can say all you want and talk about Shedeur. No, it's not just Shedeur.
It was Shador. I see the differences.
The reason he had chances.
I love how they try to downplay people.
One touch.
I love it.
Hold on. You're not about to tell me that you're not downplaying him. You're definitely downplaying him.
Telling me that he needed to be humbled. He did not need to be humbled. He needed to be drafted to a team that respected the fact that he was a good quarterback. That's insanity.
Shador did not do exceptional. He came in for his first start, got the dub, which I think for a Cleveland quarterback, it was like 1999, the last time that a rookie's done that in their first start, by the way. But more importantly,
it wasn't 1999. It's never been done by a rookie quarterback for the Browns.
It has.
It's never been done.
Yes, it has. A rookie has came
in. No, it
in.
Hasn't. I looked at the stat earlier. No, it hasn't.
The stats yesterday.
63 starts.
It's been a long time, but it has been done. It is 63 starts for the Browns
and for all their quarterbacks, and it's not been done.
A rookie winning their first start?
Once again, I didn't. For the Browns, no. Look it up.
That's what I'm doing.
And once
again,
we're not humbling. We're not about to say that Shador needed to humble himself. No, he didn't. He didn't ride his dad's coattails during college. He got those wins. And it's so sickening to me that people think that you need to humble yourself when you're actually the best, when you're actually better than the person that you're going up against. Deion Sanders had no reason to be humble. He was the best. He was a two-sport goat.
The best. I'm not going to sit here and I'm
Deion
not gonna...
Sanders wasn't the best?
You said...
Are you serious?
Deion wasn't the best. He was great, but he isn't the only best one out there.
Oh my God, he was one of the... First off, there was nobody topping him in his position. When he was playing, he was the best. The absolute GOAT. Who was better?
Shador is not the best right now, though.
I didn't say he was. I'm saying when he is good, when you are good, when you are better than the rest of the people that are being put above you, you do not have to be humble. He was definitely better than Cam Ward last year. But Cam Ward was a top draft pick. Why is it that Shador Sanders had to humble himself and chill out and ride the bench when Cam Ward didn't? They put Dylan Gabriel in as if Dylan Gabriel was somehow better. He's not.
Go off.
He was not better.
Keep going, but you're not. I am going to keep going because I am so sick of this.
His performance last Sunday gives me perfect opportunity to tell you how much better they should have treated Shador Sanders, period. Being drafted as low as he was is disrespectful when he had the season that he had last year. We're talking about Travis Hunter. We're talking about Cam Ward. We're talking about Ashton Jeanty. We're talking about Shador Sanders. Out of all of those names that I just mentioned, the only one that needed to humble himself was Shador Sanders? Are you serious? That makes absolutely no sense.
Nobody came into the draft as a quarterback, not even Jackson Dart, who had some drama surrounding him and his attitude. Not a single quarterback had the same problem that Shador did. None of them had pops coming in trying to buy their way into a first-round pick and promoting their son. Not a single one of them. Shador came in with
a... Oh, my God. Your father not be promoting you to get number one? Would your father not be up there talking about, hey, my son's better than this guy?
Son doesn't get drafted number one when he didn't do anything when it comes to winning a title? No.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's move on.
Neither did Cam Ward.
Cleveland is Cleveland. Their future could be bright, but let's be clear. I don't believe that Shador...
Cam Ward did not do anything to get a title either, sir. But they drafted him number one.
Because he was going to the Titans, and the Titans are not going to do anything for the next 5 years. Unless they get a miracle of a running back like old school Derrick Henry, or they get some crazy good, receiver. He's not going to excel. It's just not going to happen.
I'm so sick of people saying that people that are great have to be humble as well. No, you do not. You have the absolute choice to be humble if you want to be. It's not the case that you have to be humble just because you're good. No, I'm better and I'm going to act like it if I want to. You're not as good as me, so you don't get an opinion. This is the problem with professional sports as a whole, really. people have to downplay their skills just because and let other people speak for them. No, I know I'm good. I know I'm great. So I'm going to act like it. That's the problem that people have with Deion Sanders. Oh, well, guess what? You couldn't stop him. You couldn't stop him on the field. Nobody says anything about Chad Ochocinco. Nobody says anything about 85, even though his whole name change was all a big ego trip. All of it.
Listen, I'm not saying that he wasn't, Ochocinco wasn't an ego trip. Sir, some of the greatest players in the NFL.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
NFL's history, we're dramatic as can be. And there's a reason why they were great, but they always were just a little bit short of legendary. Let's be clear. We've got a history of players in the NFL that have came in with an ego and a mentality that they are the best, the only, and they are... Calvin Johnson, Megatron, he was one of those humble guys. He didn't have an attitude, but yet he was one of the most legendary receivers to ever play the game. Chad Ochocinco?
You have a choice to do that. You have a choice to do that when you're great. When you're great. It's only when you're great that you have that choice. And when you're great, you don't get to...
Gore has not earned his spot. And I am thinking that you're...
I'm waiting to see... What comments has this boy made to make everybody think that he's just the most cockiest person out there? The man literally played a legendary season. It wasn't like he had a mediocre season during college. He had a great
interviews. Listen to his draft interviews. Go back, watch some footage, and you tell me.
I'm sorry. You know I'd have been running my mouth too if they'd have drafted me that low and I was that great.
You'd have thought that man was a third string quarterback
for college. That's how they treated him. You'd have thought that man was a third or fourth string. But in real life, he led Colorado in one of the most great seasons.
Team that hasn't won nothing in decades except for when Deion came, and he had himself a pre-built little team, and he came in.
Pre-built? See, this is what I'm saying. Nobody wants to give props when it's due, and that's insane to me. Nobody's giving props when it's due, and Shedeur Sanders deserves his props. Period. He deserves his props. He got his dub. I bet you if it was Dylan Gabriel in that game, they would have lost.
Do what?
Dylan Gabriel ain't thrown no 66-yarder yet.
Doesn't matter. Shedeur did it. Good job. Good job to Shedeur. At the end of the day, they went up against one of the easiest teams to play. They went up against the Raiders.
Yep, I was waiting for that excuse.
Let's put them up against a competitive team. The only reason that game went the way that it did was because of that defense giving them time after time, and they were getting after the Raiders, and they were taking and making Ginty look like he was a schoolyard ball player. I don't care. This game was ridiculous to sit here and use as a pedestal for Shedeur. I'm not knocking Shedeur.
He deserves his pedestal.
He doesn't because he hasn't earned it.
He does.
He has not earned it. There are many of
he finally comes up off the bench after they're disrespecting him. I'd see if everybody was just like, okay, he's on the bench, and they just left it at that. But everybody's down talking this boy like he deserves it, and he doesn't. He does not. He does not deserve the disrespect that he keeps getting. Okay, I get it. Nobody thinks that he's good. Nobody thinks that he's good enough. Oh well, okay. He just showed that he's good enough to compete.
Okay, everybody.
There's a whole lot of quarterbacks throughout this season that haven't had 200-yard games, threw way more than one interception,
and there's a lot of quarterbacks
that hasn't thrown 66 yarders. Geno Smith is one of them.
Geno Smith, I told you he's terrible. I told you this earlier in the season, sir, and you weren't going to agree with me. How many times do I have to tell you? There ain't nothing to Geno. 10 sacks, it isn't even his fault at this point. His offensive line sucks. They have no receiving core. stop comparing Geno's any Shador. I'll give Shador his props over Geno. Absolutely not.
Yeah, that's disrespectful too. This is what I'm saying. Like, I can see you hyping somebody up, but you don't have to put somebody down to hype them up. And let's be clear, that's exactly what they've been doing to Shador. They've been hyping up. They've been hyping up other quarterbacks and putting down Shador as if he deserves it.
Batman. What other quarterback was hyped up? Shador had the most.
Shador deserves better.
Quarterback history in a long time.
Shador deserves better than how he's been treated. And he proved that last night.
For a man to be a four-string quarterback, to have as much attention as he's had since he got into the NFL, insanity. So, no, I won't hear it that Shador...
He's only gotten the attention because he's that great and he's been snubbed. Who snubbed somebody the way that he's been snubbed? You know what, sir?
We can literally go on this topic forever.
But I promise you, I'm not going for the Shador slander any longer. I don't care who it is.
It's going to definitely continue to happen because they're not going to do well. Anyway, let's move on to one of my games. And that is, of course, going to be the New York Giants and the Detroit Lions. Now, we've talked about the Lions plenty. We've talked about the Giants plenty. This Giants team is not the same team that we've seen back in week 3 and 4. We don't have Cam Scatabue. We have Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary. We don't have Jackson Dart. We have the magnificent Jameis Winston. Okay, we don't have these guys out here that we had at the beginning of the year. We don't have Malik Nabers. We have Wandale Robinson. Now, I want to point something out here. For a team that has went through the amount of injuries that they have, for a quarterback that isn't so hyped, Jackson Dart being out, Jameis Winston came in. He's done really well. 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 366 yards. Now, I'm going to say something controversial, and you may or may not disagree because I don't think you're going to be as, it's not going to be the same as the whole what we just had. But I think the Giants should have won that game. That kickoff return the fourth quarter to send it to overtime definitely is the reason that this game went out and turned out the way it did. The Giants were actually performing at a high level. The Packers nearly dropped it to them last week. And Jameis Winston might just be the better option for the rest of the year if they keep playing the way that they are. Because honestly, he's out here. He's hungry. He's trying to get after it. He's not afraid of getting hit and throwing the ball. He's not making a bunch of dumb passes like he did years ago in Tampa or even when he was in New Orleans. He's actually playing smart. He's playing careful. They have a good running back duo with Singletary and Tracy. Wandale Robinson's looking better than he's looked in years. So I think right now they have what they need to put together a winning team. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't see anything here that's super concerning about their performance. I mean, the only problem just at the end of the day was their defense. Their defense was their problem. And if we're being honest, the Lions, they just kind of sucked.
I can agree that the Lions didn't perform their best, but I'm not going to say that that the Giants should have won this game. The Lions are falling hard for some reason. Jahmyr Gibbs' 4 touchdowns in this game actually should tell you everything.
Here's the thing. Jared Goff didn't have a bad game. I mean, if we're going to talk about quarterbacks, 279 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. I mean, he didn't do bad. And Jahmyr Gibbs, he had 3 touchdowns, 2 rushing, 1 receiving. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs' yardage is what was insane. I believe I saw a thing on there where he reached like a top speed of like, I think it was 22.1 miles per hour at one point. The dude is fast. He's freaky fast. He's really strong. He isn't afraid to go out there and make a hit. He's not Cam Scatabue type, you know, scary as a running back, but he's pretty close. He's fast, he's wiry, and he's strong. And honestly, I just it's that defense. There's something wrong with the Detroit defense. And of course, I don't know what the problem is exactly, but...
Well, I know what the problem is. They lost their defensive coordinator. He's now the head coach for the Jets.
Well, that, I mean, that, there is that.
He's now the head coach for the Jets. He left. He was actually a beast for their defense. Every play call he made pretty much shut down the offense. So, yeah, I mean, that pretty much it's pretty much the new defensive coordinator getting used to the team. I'd say that that's the reason why the defense is going bad. But as for the offense, they need to stop playing through one person. And they do this a whole lot. Like, it's like each game they select which person's going to be their star, who they're going to go through. It'll either be David Montgomery. This time it was Jahmyr Gibbs. And yes, other people may score, but their focus is always on one player. Play through this one player for the game because of whatever game plan that they didn't sit there and watched in the tapes. So I think their offense needs to stop being so singular. They need to go back to doing what they were doing, which is spreading the ball around to everybody, and you didn't know who was going to end up taking off.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I need to see some more trick plays. I haven't seen any trick plays out of Detroit this year, for real. Like, well, they pull them out, but they just don't pull them out like they had last year. Jameson, well, go ahead.
I think that... I don't entirely agree that they need to do more trick plays. I agree with you on them needing to spread the ball more. Jameson Williams only had 3 targets.
I'm not saying specifically trick plays. I'm saying that's just one of the things that they were using to spread the ball out.
But last year was a bit different. Last year, they were not quite the same as they are. So this year when they came in, outside of week one losing to Green Bay, they've been a complete dominant force in the NFL up until they lost really to the Eagles. The Eagles did something. The Eagles broke them. That was a devastating game for them. Such a low scoring game. It really exposed a lot of their problems. But the reality of it is St. Brown is the main target through the air and Gibbs is the main guy on the ground. And it really tells because even through the air, Gibbs is a main target and both touchdowns went to the 2-star players that got through, Brown and Gibbs. So, and that doesn't include the 219 yards on 15 attempts for 2 touchdowns that Gibbs had. Again, I agree with you that they do focus too much on 1 or 2 players, whereas at the beginning of the year, we were talking about, well, who is it going to be, Montgomery or Gibbs who gets in the end zone? Montgomery touched the ball 5 times. Well, I'm sorry, he touched it 8 times if you include the passing. So he was under 30 total all-purpose yards 7 weeks ago. Montgomery's winning at 219, and they're both pushing 100 yards each. Easy. Not now. And that is definitely part of their problem, and I 100% agree with you on that. And I think the problem is not that they need to worry about – they need to worry about spreading the ball out to the other players who are capable of getting it done. I'm not saying that Raymond, Wright, Tesla can't do it, but like Jameson Williams, there's no excuse for him having 3 targets. Not a single catch on 3 targets.
That's what I'm saying. Jameson Williams is one of those people that they need to start unlocking again. They need to start going back to some more of their tight ends.
He was one of those that messed my parlays. He messed my parlays the whole time.
Sam Laporta hasn't been active.
Injuries.
But they have other tight ends that they can use. Brock Wright is not a slouch. You got Isaac Tesla.
Yep.
Not a slouch.
I was about to say, you can't sleep on him.
They have other people that they can go through and go to. They're just not using them right now. Like I said, they need to get back to that spreading the ball out, stop being so singular, and they need to work on their defense. Because it used to be that the Lions were bullying. Like, they were bullying teams. They were such bullies. And now they're getting into that little slump where they're not actually doing anything that they used to do. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
All righty, sir. Well, I don't want to sit here completely ignore what the Giants did. Jameis Winston, for the record, had a really good week. 366 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Ozuski, he threw a touchdown. One time he threw the ball, threw a touchdown. That was kind of funny. Which, by the way, that was Jameis Winston catching a 33-yard. He caught himself a 33-yard touchdown pass. That man playing like he did years and years ago whenever he didn't care about interceptions. He just threw the ball and he did something crazy. He played like he did in vintage.
Yeah, he just had fun during the game. And it's all
he did. That's all. And Wandale Robinson. Wandale Robinson. I don't know about y'all. He's been picking up the slack. And just a real quick tidbit, if y'all can get him on any fantasy waivers, do it. He is going to be a guy that you can sit on your bench if you have to, but you can keep him out of your opponent's pocket. You can keep him on your bench if you have some better options. Rotate him in, you know, throw him in on bye weeks, whatever it is. Or if you got a really good matchup, Wandell's going to be the primary target for most of these games. I mean, after all, the second closest in the amount of targets that anybody had was Hodgins with 6. He had 14 targets. He got 9 of those. 156 yards on a touchdown. Wandale Robinson, pick him up, put him on your bench, start him, whatever you need to do. If you're like me in one of my leagues, where I'm not even at 500 anymore. I'm just way below. I'm going to put a guy like him in there because 9 times out of 10, he's going to be boom or bust, and it's going to be based off of the quarterback. Run with the
tablet. Well, moving on, sir.
Yep.
We got to get into this next game, and that's the Bears and the Steelers. I called this game for the Bears. They were underdogs in this one for a while. They ended up becoming the overdog like right before game time. But they came out and did their thing. Caleb Williams had the game that I thought he was going to have, 3 touchdown passes. 19 for 35 with 239 on yards. You know the running back's name. He had him a rushing touchdown. It was a nice performance all around by the Bears. The Steelers weren't slouches in this game. Matt Rudolph tried. He just wasn't enough. And I knew he wasn't going to be enough, of course. But they... All together, Caleb Williams and the Bears are going to be a threat, to say the least. They're going to be a threat during the playoff season. And whoever they go up against, better bring their A game, because the Bears are actually way hungrier than a lot of these teams that we have on this list for Sunday.
I think that goes to the fact that the Bears are in a very unique position right now. The Bears are in a position to steal a spot in the playoffs, and they're waiting for either Green Bay or Detroit to fall. All it's going to take is one slip up. We're getting into the last stretch of the second. We're getting to that second half of the year. We're getting down to the wire. Every divisional game, every win, loss, especially conference wins, really start to add up. Every game counts. And the Bears are in a position right now to steal away one or two good divisional games, and they could be right in the playoffs. The only thing that I'm going to say is that the Bears are not a Super Bowl team. They are not. Caleb Williams is balling out, but at the end of the day, they do not have the depth to make a run into the Super Bowl. If I'm wrong, it is what it is, but I feel very confident that they do not. And the reason that I think they won this game in part was because of Mason Rudolph. You got to remember that Mason Rudolph was the one who started this, and he is not no Aaron Rodgers. And let's be clear, the Bears defense almost gave up this game to not Aaron Rodgers, but to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who got himself beat up a few years ago by Myles Garrett with a helmet. So let's be clear. That man has been, one, running from that one singular moment against the Browns years ago, and he is still not recovered. Mason Rudolph is about as mediocre as a backup as it gets. The Bears had an opportunity to steal this game, and it took them a little longer than it should have. I'm not bashing, but I'm just saying we got to remember, give credit due to what credit's due. That Steelers defense... They got Caleb Williams only got him sacked him one time. However,
I'm going to disagree and say that, yeah, I can say that they may not be a Super Bowl team. Like, they may not win it. They could definitely make it there.
Based off of the teams that
they're gonna have to go against to get there, they could definitely put up that fight to dub. So, I don't think I can agree with
that the Bears could make it through the NFC. They're not getting past the Rams in a playoff game right now. They're probably not getting past Philly. Don't get me wrong. Right now, the Bears are standing third in the NFC, if you did not know that. They were 8-3. By no doubt have they proven that they are a capable team, but they're not going to win in the playoffs against teams like the Rams, the Eagles. I don't think they're going to beat the Seahawks.
I think they would definitely have the answer to what the Rams are, because the Rams are so dominant, and we're definitely going to get into those to them later, so I don't want to go into this. But right. The Rams are so dominant. I think the Bears have exactly what the Rams need to get slowed down at the very least. The Rams are not going up against teams that want to beat them, and I saw that.
I don't agree with you on that, but I know we're going to be getting into the Rams game here in a little bit, so I'm going to circle back to that because I don't agree with you there. But
either way, what I'm saying is I think the Bears have what it takes to beat a lot of these teams, especially the Seahawks. The Seahawks and the Bears would actually be a great game to watch. But I think the Bears would come out on top. Also, I'll give Caleb Williams all his props all day. But when it comes down to the Bears as a whole, they have what it takes to go very far right now. And that I can see that. Now, you know, I'm not going to say that they will guarantee, but if they keep that hunger, if they keep that drive that they got right now, I don't see who's going to stop them.
I could think of a few teams, but we are in that point of the year where there are going to be some weird ups and downs with the league. We are running out of time very quickly. So I want to quickly hop into this next to last game. And I want to talk about my Packers, of course, and none other than the Vikings. Now,
real quick,
I want to start off.
I'm going to let you go all the way with this one because I hated this game. And the only opinions that I have about this game is I hate that the Packers keep winning when they play so horribly. It is not a good look at all. But go ahead.
All right, I'm going to let you say your thing. I'm not actually going to go into this game a lot. I want to talk about it, not just because I'm a Packers fan, but because it is an important game for the Packers. The NFC North right now, Bears, Packers, Lions, Vikings, in that order as it stands at this very moment. So this is a crucial game. Green Bay is getting ready to play Detroit on Thanksgiving, a game that I desperately, desperately know the Packers need to win. Because if we sweep the Lions, that probably pretty well gives us the edge over the Lions in the playoffs. Leaves us to fight with the Bears. So this game was important because, one, we established that we are still winning divisional games. We're still competitive. Yes, we are not playing like we need to, and that is on our offense. Our defense was phenomenal. So I want to talk about something here. We got J.J. McCarthy 5 times. He threw no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 87 yards, entire game. He is, for those of you who don't know, now in concussion protocol. So McCarthy is yet again looking to be out for a period of time. The Vikings need to find a quarterback. They need to find a quarterback who's going to lead them somewhere and lead them down further than the rabbit hole. Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, get Kirk Cousins back. Clearly, what they needed to do was done right. Do something. J.J. McCarthy is not the guy. And at the end of the day, I don't blame the Vikings offense for this loss other than J.J. McCarthy. He couldn't stand up to the pressure. Micah Parsons, Sean Gary, all of them getting after him, just getting after him, getting after him, getting after him. And at the end of the day, I think when you look at what our defense was able to do, getting 2 interceptions, no holding the no touchdowns. I mean, good Lord. I mean, Parsons had 2 sacks. Wyatt had 2 sacks. I mean, McDuffie, he got in there. It's just one of those things where when you're sitting here looking at that game, you're looking at a game that was won based off of a defensive performance that gave our offense just chance after chance after chance after chance. And that really was the difference maker. That's really, I think, where this game went was the Packers' ability to defensively just manage what the Vikings were going to do. They played poorly on offense.
I get it. I get it, sir. I do. You done broke it down perfectly. And they got the win. I just hate the way that they win. Like, they keep winning because these teams don't see what they're actually doing. Offensively, there is nothing to speak of on this game, except for Emmanuel, the running back. He had him a nice game. Other than that, Jordan Love didn't do anything. The receivers didn't do anything. While these games are being won, and you know, this is a 23-6 game, there was nothing to speak of offensively besides the running back having his game the way he did. 100 yards, 28 carries, 2 touchdowns. I mean, this is what we speak of. We don't speak of the 139 yards that Jordan Love threw.
No. Honestly, we're not about to talk about that. One for one looked better than Jordan Love's entire game.
Ugly. So we need to move on, but I promise you, I can't stand the way that the Packers do business. And their business all day is horrible.
Well, here's why it's horrible. It's because of, I think, right now, 2 factors. One, that is Jordan Love. I'm not saying that he's not capable of greatness because he's demonstrated it many times, but Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur. And I am not bashing LaFleur. He is one of the best coaches Green Bay has had in a long time. He's one of the best coaches in the NFL. The problem is he doesn't have the right talent at quarterback. Jordan Love is a great quarterback. The problem is Jordan Love is not a great quarterback when pressure's in his face. He doesn't have the composure that we want to see. I think that if you give him a better offensive line, we could be talking about this team and we could be paying dues to where they go. Jordan Love is a Super Bowl winning quarterback if he just gets it together. That's all he's got to do. He's just got to get it together. But I agree. Right, so we need to wrap it up and move on to this last game.
This last game is the Rams and the Buccaneers. It was Sunday Night Football. And what can we say about the Rams right now that hasn't actually been said, sir? The Rams are actually out for all dominance right now. All dominance. Devontae Adams is having a year in the red zone. Like, all you got to do is throw it to him. He's catching it, sir. If he's in that little end zone area, he's gonna put 2 hands on it. And it's very ridiculous the way that that man's been playing. And they made the Buccaneers look like guppies out there. Defensively, can we say about the Rams right now that hasn't actually been said? They are a Super Bowl team in the making.
I don't think that we even really need to talk about the Rams at this point. This game was not built for competition. This one was a game that the Bucs, they were destined to fail. This is not, they are struggling. They are not healthy. They are not in a position to win these games. And at the end of the day, we're talking about the Rams and the Bucs because it was Sunday Night Football. And I don't think that there's much to say about this game other than
Teddy Bridgewater looked like a high schooler out there.
Okay, but hold on. All right, hold on. First off, we can't forget something. Teddy Bridgewater's career puttered out due to an injury before it ever started. Okay. He has been in and out of the league. He has been riding the bench, filling in his backups, play a game here, play a game there. He's moved around from team to team. He is not a quarterback that is built to be a starter anymore.
I wasn't talking about skill wise, sir. I'm talking about his actual look. He ran out on the field and I was like, who let this child out here?
Well, let's be clear. He just got in trouble not long ago. What for? What was it? The high school team he was coaching. He got in some sort of trouble, some drama there. And he can't even coach his high school team right now unless he's back there. And I haven't read up on that part. But regardless, he's one of those guys, right? When you bring him on the field, you're like, Hey, I'm gonna need you to come back out here and play for a couple games, come back over to the NFL. Like, for what it's worth, if I were him, I wouldn't feel too bad about it. Can you imagine being that guy who doesn't even, you're like a part-timer in the NFL. You're literally just a part-timer. And yet people are like, Hey, you know what? We need somebody. Teddy, why don't you slide on over here? That is what Teddy Bridgewater is. He is a part-timer in the NFL. He doesn't even play full seasons. He just sits up there on the free agency market, and he's just like, hey, if you want me, give me a call. If not, I'll be over here doing something else. Like, he's an example of this. So I'm going to just leave it at that. He may look like a child, but he's a part-timer.
We got to get out of here, sir.
We do.
It has been always great to be here with you all. And we want to leave you all with a quick ad from one of our sponsors, Aspire, of course. We love it. We drink it. And we hope that you do, too. Of course, when you buy Aspire off of the website, you'll get a 25% discount on us. And, of course, you'll be supporting us as well. Love to see it. Love to drink it.
And yes,
anything else you got to say, Ben?
Yes, we get paid for it, but we also enjoy drinking them. I love them. I can't help it. They taste great. And on that note, I have nothing. It's been fun. And that's all I've got.
Peace.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.